You've probably heard of the fruit of the Holy Spirit before, but how in the world do I walk in patience and self-control when all I want to do is knock somebody's head off anytime they mess with me? The Bible has the answer to this question. Let's find it out. The fruit of the Spirit is an integral part to our walk with Christ as believers. And what happens many times is people try, unintentionally most of the times, to pit the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit against each other, like they're at war. And like we as believers should pick one over the other, and they both can't exist in harmony together. And that's not the case. These are two parts of the Holy Spirit's ministry, and we need both. You hear many people a lot of the time say, you know, thank God for the gifts of the Spirit, but I'd rather have the fruit of the Spirit. No, we need both. Both have a specific function in the life of a believer and in the church. Don't throw one away for the other. Both can operate in your life. Both can operate in the church. That's why they've been given to us, so we can use both of them. So we have to understand that there's not more importance on one over the other. That's not the case. We need both of them, so we need to understand how both of them work and make room for them both to operate and function in our lives. So we've talked about the gifts of the Spirit, but I want to jump into the fruit of the Spirit today, because understand, this is just as important, as I said. And I want to start over in the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 5, because this is where the Apostle Paul talks about these fruit of the Spirit. And let's go there, but I want to set it up a little bit. That in throughout the book of Galatians, the Apostle Paul is dealing with a problem that came into the church at Galatia. And they had a problem with false doctrine creeping into their church. And basically, a group of false teachers came in and began to teach that believers, this was after the death, burial, resurrection of Christ, we're over into the new covenant now. But a group of false teachers came in and began to teach that believers still need to follow the law of Moses. And their teachings began to get into this church and these Christians. And they began to mix the Mosaic law with the gospel. And the Apostle Paul had a serious problem with this, because he said the two will not mix on that level. They began to teach circumcision again. So, you know, we have all the good news. We have the gospel that has been taught, but you need to keep the Sabbath still. You need to practice circumcision still. And they tried to mix the two together. And the Apostle Paul said that is a problem. And he tells you throughout this book how this was a problem. You can't mix the Mosaic law with the gospel. Understand that. And while the commandments of God are found in the Mosaic law, and God's commandments have not been thrown out the window, what you have to understand is the Apostle Paul says in Romans 3:19-20 that the law was set in place to reveal man's sinful state. And nobody could be made righteous by way of the law. Understand that. There is no way for you to live righteous through the law. It was just set in place to show man's sin and show that man cannot reach the standard of God in his own power. That's what the law showed you. That's what it showed you. So here come these people. They were called the Judaizers. They came and they said, no, add back circumcision. No. Let's add back parts of the law into this thing and mix it together, because you still need to do that. And the Apostle Paul was like, no, that's not the case. You can't be made righteous through the law. It just exposed the fact that you are a sinful person. And this is why Jesus had to come in and break the power of sin and give the believer the ability to reach that standard. That's what Jesus did, essentially. He gave you the ability. He broke the power of sin off of you and gave you the ability to reach God's standard. So if you are in Christ now, you have the ability to follow the commands of God without failing. You have the ability to keep these commands because you're not doing it in your own power. You're doing it through his power now. And people who turn around and say, no, we're going to go backwards and we're going to go back to the law. And if you don't keep the law, you're in sin and you have a problem. There are still people like that to this day around in Christianity. They try to mix everything back together. And the biggest problem I have with that is you can't do that. The Apostle Paul said you cannot do that because you can't reach God's high standard in your own power. So when you add back the law and tell Christians they need to keep the Sabbath and they need to go back into circumcision, you're taking a backward step and saying, we don't need the power of God. We don't need God's ability. We're going to try to live up to God's standard in our own power. And the Bible tells you that if you break one commandment, God said, if you break one commandment, you're guilty of breaking them all. Meaning that God had, you had the 10 commandments given. And if you broke one of them, you was guilty of breaking all 10 of them. Understand that you was completely unrighteous before God. You broke one. You murdered somebody. You're guilty of coveting. You're guilty of stealing. You're guilty of worshiping false gods and making graven images and taking the Lord's name in vain. You're guilty of them all. Understand that. So Jesus Christ had to come in and make the way and make provision for us to be able, as I said, to reach that standard. So the Apostle Paul talks about this and he says, this is a problem trying to mix back the law in with grace. It doesn't work like that. So he says now that you can't be saved by way of the law. You can't be made righteous by way of the law. And you should not be following that way. You should be following what God gave you to follow under grace. Watch this. He said he wanted you not to just follow yourself or just walk around aimlessly, but God gave you someone else to follow. And that someone is the Holy Spirit. And as you follow the Holy Spirit, you will not be led into sin. As you let the Holy Spirit guide your life, you won't be led down the wrong path. He will always lead you down the path of righteousness. So in verse 16, watch what he says. He says, so I say, let the Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting with each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Watch this. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I've said before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But here we are in verse 22, watch this. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. So watch this right here. As I said earlier, that God did not make it now that under grace we just follow nothing and we just walk around aimlessly. They followed the law of Moses back under the old covenant. But now under grace, God has given us the Holy Spirit to follow. And he helps us and gives us the ability to reach, number one, God's standard, live holy, and live the way that God wants us to live. He's the one that helps us to do that. And that's why we must become people who follow the Holy Spirit. We don't just follow our own way. Because if we do that, we'll get messed up. If we do that, we will not reach God's standard and we'll end up in sin and end up destroying our entire lives. This is why the Apostle Paul stresses. He says, listen, if you follow anything other than the Holy Spirit, you are going to fall into sin. If you follow anything other than the Holy Spirit, you will end up fulfilling the desires of your flesh. So how do you stop fulfilling sinful desires? How do you stop going down the wrong path, the path of the flesh? You submit yourself to the guidance and leading of the Holy Spirit. And watch this now. Watch as you see here, he says that if you follow the flesh, if you follow your sinful nature, fruit is going to be produced. But if you follow the Holy Spirit, fruit is also going to be produced. So watch right here. Fruit is going to be produced in every single person's life. Your life is going to produce fruit based off of who you follow. And it's either going to be good fruit or bad fruit. Understand that. The life you live is going to produce fruit. It's going to produce results. And depending on who you follow, depending on the way you live, it's either going to be good fruit or bad fruit. And following your sinful nature, following your flesh, is what is going to produce bad fruit in your life. Following your sinful nature is what is going to produce these works of the flesh that he talks about in verse 19 to verse 21. So this kills the whole argument of God knows my heart and only God can judge me. And, you know, God's still working on me and I'm a work in progress. No, let me tell you something. Yes, this thing is a process in many cases. This path that we're walking is progressive. We're moving every day from glory to glory. We're getting better and better every day. We're being conformed to the image of God every day. But let me tell you something. Your life's fruit shows who you follow. And many people are trying to say that they're righteous and they're living right before God when the fruit of their life is bad. They're saying and they're trying to say that they're righteous, but the fruit they produce is showing that they actually don't follow God, that they actually don't follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit, but they're following after the flesh, and that's why fleshly sinful fruit is being produced. So people can stand up and say, you know what? People are judgmental. You know, God is still working on me. I'm still saved. I'm still righteous before God. Everything's all good and stuff like that. But if your life is constantly producing sinful fruit, if your life is constantly producing the works of the flesh, that is showing that you are not on the right path. You are not following the Holy Spirit, but you're following your sinful desires. Understand that. You are led by your sinful desires if you are producing sinful fleshly fruit. There's no other way. And people try to find ways around that and say, you know, my life can produce sinful fruit. I can live in sin all I want. But, you know, I'm still righteous. I'm still saved, you know. But if your life is constantly producing that fruit, that shows who you're following. Understand that. And many people think, you know, it's all good. When I get to the end of my road, I'm still going to get to heaven. Everything is going to be Gucci. Not the case. Understand today that your life's fruit, what is being produced in your life, are you producing the works of the flesh? Or is your life producing the fruit of the Spirit? Because if you're producing the works of the flesh, that is showing that you are following after your sinful nature. That's how you have many people in modern Christianity today, especially heavily in the gospel industry today. People sing about Jesus. They could sing the house down. You know, they could act like a Christian on Sunday or when they're on stage and have a mic in their hand. But outside of that, their life looks like hell. And when people begin to question and call people out and be like, why are you living like this? This is not right. I'm still saved. I know what y'all talking about. Y'all just judgmental. I'm sick and tired of this. This is why people don't want to come to church. When in reality, it's showing that your life is being led by the flesh. Your life is being guided by your sinful nature and not the Spirit. Because if it was truly guided by the Holy Spirit, different fruit would be produced, not the works of the flesh. So this takes people off of the fence. This keeps people from straddling the line and saying, you know, I can be on both sides. No, either you are righteous or either you're sinful. Either your life is producing the fruit of the Spirit and you're being led by the Holy Spirit, or you're being led by your sinful nature. Understand that. It's either one or the other. And the thing is, we can't get into that place where we become so deceived that we're like, you know, my life can produce whatever fruit it wants. I could produce bad fruit, but everything is all right because I think inside of my mind that I'm right with God. We can't become people like that. We have to take a deep look on the inside of ourselves today and understand and know for sure whether or not we are being led by the Holy Spirit. Whether or not we are doing what the Apostle Paul told the Galatians to do. Are they walking in the Spirit? Are you living in the Spirit? Because if you truly are, this fruit is going to be produced. If you don't want to follow your sinful nature, you don't just back off. What you have to do is not just, you know, it's not just about like stopping sinning and stop doing that. It's about now turning towards the Holy Spirit and now letting Him become the GPS for your life. Because if you sit down in limbo, nothing's going to change. So you can't just give up sin and throw it away and put it away, because now you have to turn to follow the Holy Spirit in place now. So let's get that straight, that our actions show who we are. Our actions show, the fruit of our life shows who we're being led by. And the Bible talks about that in the book of James, chapter 2. Faith without works is dead. You can't say that you have faith, but your actions say otherwise. And the Bible says that some may say, you know, I have faith and I have works. And James says, no. My faith is proved by my works. Amen. Your faith is proved by your actions. If your life, if your works are unrighteous, if your actions are unrighteous, that shows that you are not righteous before God. The book of 1 John also talks about that in about chapter 3. Your actions prove whether or not what you say is true. Your actions show whether or not you are truly being led by God or you're being led by your sinful flesh. So we have to understand that, that if we're led by the flesh, that fruit is going to be produced. That fruit that was talked about. Sin is going to be produced. Things that are contrary to the word of God are going to be produced in our life. And they're going to grow because they're being watered. They're being planted. And they're just going to grow bigger and bigger and bigger. But you have to understand at the same time that if you follow the flesh, that's going to happen. But if you follow the Holy Spirit and you let the Spirit become the GPS for your life, you walk in the Spirit, as the Apostle Paul said, then you won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You won't fulfill those fleshly desires. And this will help people who have a problem with being free from sin. This will help people who are struggling with that, because many people do struggle with that. Many people, I don't know, I can't get free from this sin. You know, I've tried so many times and I can't get free from it. Well, understand that you now have to turn to follow the Holy Spirit, because what you're doing is you're making room for the flesh. You're following what your sinful nature tells you to do. You have to turn the other way and say, nope, I'm not doing that. I'm making the Holy Spirit be my guide. And what He tells me to do, I'll follow. I'll do things that glorify Him. I'll do things that please Him. And that's when righteous fruit is going to be produced in your life. That's when good fruit is going to begin to be produced. And the Apostle Paul talks about it here. He says it's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, and self-control. That fruit doesn't just come out of nowhere. It's not just, you know, birthed out of just, you know, randomly, you know, when I'm saved, you know, for like more than 10 years, then that's when that begins to get produced, you know, at like my 15-year anniversary of my salvation, then God's going to give me faith, love, joy, and peace. It doesn't work. It doesn't work like that. It does not work like that. Just like in the natural, if you don't plant seeds for a tree, if you don't take care of that, if you don't water it, if you don't give it proper conditions to grow, it's not going to grow. This is the same way it is with the fruit of the Spirit. If you're not following the leading of the Holy Spirit, if you haven't made him the guide for your life, if you're not walking in the Spirit, don't be surprised when the fruit of the Spirit does not begin to grow. However, on the good side of that, if you do that, then that is proper soil, that's proper water, that's proper conditions for that seed to begin to grow into fruit. And for that to begin to permeate your life instead of the works of the flesh. Understand that. And as you learn the skill of walking in the Spirit, as you begin to become more skillful in that, as you begin to do it more often and make it a practice in your life, then guess what? That fruit, those seeds get watered and they begin to grow. And then they begin to grow bigger and bigger. Amen. So you have to become skillful in walking in the Spirit. You have to become skillful in letting the Holy Spirit be the guide for your life. Because many people don't let the Holy Spirit guide them. Many people follow after their own mind. I'm going to do what my mind tells me to do in this situation. This is what sounds good to me. Many people listen to their flesh, you know, their sinful, jacked up flesh. Do this instead. Do that instead. Yeah, that sounds good to me. And it's natural to people. It is. It's natural to people. But if you let the Holy Spirit show you the way to go, if you consult him in decisions of your life, when you do that, then that's when righteous fruit will begin to get produced. When you let him guide your life, when you let him show you the way to go, then thank God you'll see these things begin to grow in your life. You'll see these things begin to permeate your life, as I said. So you see this. Many people have problems with walking in love. Why can't I walk in love? Let me tell you something. We're commanded to love each other. And let me tell you, some people are not easy to love. Let me just say that off the bat. Some people are not easy to love. You wonder how Jesus loved the unlovable. How the heck did Jesus love a wretched sinner like me and I can't even love my annoying neighbor? Oh, to be like Jesus. Let me tell you something. It's not something that you can just get naturally, because your natural man wants to only love people that are lovable in your own eyes. Your natural person only wants to love people that are not problematic. But look how Jesus loved you. A wretched, dirty, rotten sinner. He loved you enough to come and die for your sins and provide a way for you to come out of that sinful life and become righteous. That's how much he loved you. And you have to understand that you're not just commanded to love one another and God just leaves you on your own and says, bleh, here, do it on your own. I'm not giving you any ability. I'm not giving you any power to do it. No, God gives you the Holy Spirit to help you begin to walk in that and help that fruit begin to grow and begin to get produced in your life. It's not going to happen in the flesh. You're not going to walk in God's kind of love in your flesh. It is a work of the Holy Spirit, but you have to give it place. You have to give him room to begin to make that grow in your life. As you yield to him, then it'll begin to grow. That's the same thing with peace. Many people need peace in their life. And peace is afforded to every believer. You see people living troubled lives. You see people living unpeaceful lives. Life that's just full of trouble and mess and craziness and turmoil. That's not your portion as a believer. That is not what God has given to you as a believer. But let me tell you something. It's not something that just comes out of nowhere. It's something that you have to yield to and let the Holy Spirit lead you into. God told his people back in the book of Isaiah that they would go out with joy and be led forth with peace. Understand that. That's your portion. The book of Colossians tells you to let the peace of God reign in your hearts. Let the peace of God reign in your hearts. And it's not something that comes naturally to you, because it's not something that is natural. The God kind of peace, the peace that God gives, the peace that he is talking about in his word, is a work of the Spirit. And it's something that you need to yield to the Holy Spirit to let him begin to work that in your life. And then you find, as you begin to yield to the Holy Spirit, give him place, walk in the Spirit, that stuff begins to come. And where you used to live in turmoil and mess, you now live in peace. Amen. Amen. When you used to live in turmoil, you live in peace now. It's the same thing with joy, another fruit of the Spirit. The Bible told you that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Understand that. That is something that is afforded to you, joy. And many people do not live in joy. They don't walk in joy. Their life is a depressing mess all the time. But God said the kingdom of God, the Apostle Paul said in Romans, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom that you are a part of, the kingdom that we talk about all the time, I'm part of the kingdom of God, amen. It consists of joy. So if you're part of this kingdom, thank God, you can live in joy. Your life does not have to be joyful one day, sad the next day, joyful the next day, then sad for the next week, and jacked up for the next week, and depressed the next week. No. God has afforded to every believer joy. It is the portion of every believer. It comes from the Holy Ghost. It is a work of the Holy Spirit. But when you yield to him, when you let him have reign in your life, when you let him guide you, that's when that fruit is going to be produced. And where you used to be depressed, where you used to be jacked up, where you used to be messed up, you are now joyful. And these are things that we all need. The fruit of the Spirit is not something that we just put on the back burner and throw away and say, I don't need that. That's all right. You know, somebody else can have that. Sister Bessie can have that. That ain't for me. I'm trying to fight. No, every Christian, every believer needs it. And if God provided it to us by way of the Holy Spirit, we should do well to receive it. Let him work that in our lives instead of throwing it away and putting it on the back burner. And as you live a life this way, a life that is led by the Spirit, you find that the course of your life goes better. Your life ain't up and down and jacked up one day and good the next day. Your life is steady. It's set. You're walking down a good path all the days of your life. That's how God intended for it to be. Not to be up and down and jacked up, set. But you know what? That comes from living in the Spirit. That comes from walking in the Holy Spirit and giving him place to lead you. And once you do that, when you give way for him to lead you, you will see your life get better. You will see all the benefits that this will produce in your life. That's why God wants you to walk in this. That's why God gave it to you. So from this day forward, become a person who says, I'm going to yield to the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to walk in the flesh anymore, but I'm going to walk in the Spirit from this day forward. And I'm not going to stop doing it from now until Jesus comes back. Thank you, Father. I'm not going to stop doing that. I will walk in the Spirit all the days of my life, and I will not fulfill the sinful desires of my flesh, and I will see the fruit of the Spirit produced in my life, and I will see the benefits that the fruit will bring for me from this day forward in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, walking in the Spirit and following the leading of the Holy Spirit is something that is afforded to the believer. So if you're not a believer, this is not something that is afforded to you. And you are, sadly, only relegated to living in your flesh. You're only relegated to being led by your flesh, and that never produces anything good. So if you want a better life, you want to walk down a better path, you want to see sinful fruit stop being produced in your life and seeing the fruit of the Holy Spirit start to be produced, it starts with leaving that sinful life and turning your heart to Christ and receiving him as Savior. So if you come on this video today and you're in that camp, you're in that boat, and you know I'm not living right before God, I'm not saved, I'm not on my way to heaven, I'm not righteous before God, I have sin in my life and I need to get it out. This is your opportunity to receive Christ as Savior. This is your opportunity to turn away from sin, Receive him into your heart and start a new life in Christ Jesus today. The Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. That is a promise that is given to you if you are in Christ. But you got to take the first step and receive Jesus Christ into your heart as Savior. You have to receive him as your Lord and Savior. And then you will be in Christ and you will become a new creature. So make that decision today. And I want you to pray after me if that's you. You feel the Holy Spirit tugging on your heart and convicting you of your sins right now. Answer that conviction. Don't put it off one day more. Don't put it off one day longer. Answer it today and make Jesus Christ your Savior. Let's pray right now. Say sincerely from your heart after me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for sending Jesus to sacrifice his life for my sins. I believe that he died and was raised back to life for me. So I ask you to forgive me of my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And now I receive the power to live holy until you return. I'm no longer a sinner, but now I am a child of God from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you just prayed with me and responded to God's call for salvation, I want you to now take the next step. I want to help you to begin to walk on this path of righteousness. Many people get to the point where they feel like, okay, I just got saved, but what do I do next? I want to help you with that. There's a link in the description that will take you to a page on my website, and I want you to fill out the form there. And when you fill out that form, I'll send you some resources that will help you begin to walk on this path of righteousness and begin your walk with Christ. You don't have to walk this path alone. You have the help of the Holy Spirit, and now you also have my help. So I want to send you resources, I want to pray for you, and I want to help you to become a strong believer. So go ahead and click the link now.
God has made a way for his children to be totally liberated from the power of sin. But many Christians don't understand this. In Marlon Benjamin's book, Undefiled, he teaches that Christ put an end to sin's control and gave us the ability to resist all its temptations when they come. Order your copy now on Amazon or marlonbenjamin.net.
What's up, everybody? It's Marlon Benjamin, and I want to challenge you to consider becoming a partner with this ministry today. You know, our partners commit to praying for us continuously, and they connect their finances to this ministry on a monthly basis. You know, God has allowed us to preach some powerful services over this past year, and we have seen God demonstrate his power in mighty ways, and we have seen people get saved and come into the kingdom of God. We've also been able to expand the reach of the gospel through YouTube, the podcast, and I'm Saved Now What, which helps us connect to those who are being saved through our online ministry and get them on the path of righteousness and help them begin their walk with Christ. Last year, we just connected ourselves and became partners with Lester Sumrall's Feed the Hungry. And we are providing meals to those who are in need on a monthly basis. So I want you to consider, prayerfully consider, becoming a partner of this ministry today. You can click the link in the description or go to marlonbenjamin.net, hit the Give Now page, and go to the partnership page. And you can see what we're doing and become a partner today. Thank you so much, and God bless you.